This is Victor Novak, the brewmaster for Golden Road Brewing. When I want to tap the very best in food news, I catch the SoCal Restaurant Show. Let's go, Ducks!
And welcome back. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Ducks hockey and Angels baseball. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show, putting it all together, and we're enthusiastically presented each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Well, we're back on the travel trail, and we're traveling with Darley. The ninth season of her PBS series is about to launch, and it is a pleasure to welcome Darley Newman back to the show. Hello again, Darley.
Thanks for having me back, Andy.
Of course. Darley, before we get into some of these other episodes that are part of the ninth season, where can our listeners find the episodes of Travels with Darley on PBS?
So you can actually watch repeats right now on KCET, Wednesdays 10:30, 5:30, and 10:30, so three times a day. But the new season is kicking off on Tuesdays, January 25th. It starts at 10 a.m. on KCET on their main channel. So lots of ways to watch in Southern California and beyond.
Of course. And you're up to 51 half hours now. You know, wow.
I know. It's pretty crazy. And it's really awesome, too, because these half hours are now not only on PBS, but you can also stream them on Journey, which is a free app, Ovation TV, and also Wondrium and Amazon Prime. So we're kind of getting all over. They're on Roku, all those places. So you can find the series and watch the old episodes, too.
And, you know, of course, the archive episodes have a lot of very worthy content. So, you know, definitely a lot to explore. Now, Darley, you have a new relationship with the Smithsonian, and we're going to talk about the Charleston and the Liberty Trail episode of Travels with Darley in a moment, because there's a lot of good things that are in that one. But you also have a presentation, a virtual presentation that's coming up with the Smithsonian next month for Charleston and the Liberty Trail. Tell our listeners about that, because I know it's something they'll be interested in.
These are really fun. I've done two this month so far, and they're live stream events. You can watch them via Zoom. You could go to Smithsonian Associates and search for my name or Charleston, and you'll find this February 24th program. But I'll be coming to you from wherever I am in the world at that moment. I actually should be in Canada streaming live, and I bring on special guests, and you get really that amazing firsthand insight into, for instance, on this one, Charleston and the Liberty Trail, which is a Revolutionary War trail that runs throughout the state of South Carolina, but also combines that history, food, and adventure that we combine when we do our episodes. So it's a great chance to learn and also interact live.
Well, and you know, Charleston is just such an incredibly beautiful city. And as you point out in the episode, you know, particularly in terms of Revolutionary War history, which I really wasn't all that current on, you know, this is where it was all happening. And, you know, the British were chasing some of our American heroes all over. In particular, Francis Marion, who also is known as the Swamp Fox, did a great job eluding the British. Do you want to talk about him for a moment? Because he sounds like an absolutely fascinating character.
There are so many, you know, legends around Francis Marion. And if you're in South Carolina, which what's fascinating, there's a park in Charleston that we visited. But there are a lot of names for places and buildings after Francis Marion, including the Francis Marion National Forest. So in this episode, we kind of thread through this character of Francis Marion and go to a lot of these locations where he had battles or had significant things happen during the American Revolution, including a house in downtown Charleston where he apparently might have been inebriated and fell out of the window and hurt himself. And that may have changed the course of our entire American existence up to this date, because it changed the course of history because he had to leave Charleston. It's a great story.
And so, you know, by leaving Charleston, he escaped the British, who, you know, certainly would have captured him at that point because they were looking for him.
They were looking for him, but he was pretty elusive. That's why he was known as the Swamp Fox. We go kayaking through the forest in a spot where they had one of these battles, and it's really neat to see the terrain and just to get up close and kind of think back to that time period. So really cool way to experience history.
And you got to shoot off a Revolutionary War cannon. That must have been trippy.
That was pretty wild. That's, again, all part of this Liberty Trail, which is a driving route throughout South Carolina. But that reenactment was loud, I'm going to tell you, because the cannon went off and I did not have earplugs in at first. And then they offered me earplugs and I thought, oh, yeah, of course I'll take those earplugs.
Yeah. I would think so. Now, what's fun is throughout the Charleston the Liberty Trail episode, there is a lot of food. First of all, Darlie, if you can explain to our audience, what was the significance of Carolina gold rice? Because that permeates everything.
Really, another, we try to thread through, you know, things that people can relate to today. So we see Francis Marion in all these parks in South Carolina on signs and at museums. And then we also see that we can visit these plantations where they were growing this Carolina gold rice. It was the number one cash crop during the time of enslavement. And it did fall out of favor because it's very labor intensive to produce. And when slavery was abolished and they didn't have the slaves to actually do this farming, they ended up not really cultivating this rice as much anymore. So it's harder to find. It's an heirloom grain, but there's a beautiful restaurant in downtown Charleston. It's called The Grocery, and there's a James Beard Award-nominated chef. His name is Kevin Johnson that's there, and he is still using heirloom ingredients like this Carolina gold rice. So I went from the plantation to his restaurant to actually try that rice, and I have to tell you, it's very flavorful. It has almost like it felt like a fragrance. Now, the rice dish I had did have saffron in it, so that probably affected it a little bit because it really soaked it in. But it was a different type of texture, and depending on the way you cook it, you can make it in a lot of different ways. So I thought that was really interesting.
No, The Grocery with Chef Johnson looks like it's a must-stop when you're in the area. It definitely got my attention. Now, there's one other local attraction there that you had a chance to visit. Tell us the story, because apparently it's a local institution, and it even has engendered a PBS series for the proprietress, and that is Callie's Hot Little Biscuit.
Very good. You have to also go there and get some biscuits, and that's a very Southern thing to do, very Southern food. But Carrie Morey is another female entrepreneur who started this business, a recipe handed down from her family. And she makes these really cute, tasty, little, tiny biscuits and big ones, too. But you can get tiny ones, which I think is fun because they have all of these different fillings. You can either get them sweet with, like, jams and things like that, or you can get them with pimento cheese and bacon, egg, and cheese and all the little different savory fixings that you might want on a biscuit. And it's the kind of place where you can pop in and take it to go. And it's definitely – they get a line at this biscuit place, and it's definitely one that you want to stop at if you're in Charleston.
And you got to make biscuits with her.
I did. And, you know, it's so funny because I love to eat, and I'm just not a great chef. But I always try, and I throw it in there with, like, the top chefs in the world, which I think is kind of hilarious. I've made galettes in France, and I've been out with Michelin star chefs in Hong Kong. So I have learned a lot in my days. So I feel like I'm always a good supervisor in kitchen situations because I can say, oh, when I was in this place, they made this with that. But it was fun. It was a fun experience, and I definitely got my hands dirty on that one.
You bet. Now, unfortunately, Darlie, as we're fighting the clock, we got to get Colorado Ranches in here. Just very briefly, what is an authentic Dude Ranch and the authentic Dude Ranch experience? Because I know there are a lot of pretenders out there, but, you know, you profile the real thing.
I love the Dude Ranch experience. These are ranches. A lot of them have been around for generations, or, for instance, like Sea Lazy U was one that I visited. It's been around over 100 years, and they welcome guests to come and experience that Western lifestyle. So a big focus of the Dude Ranch experience would be horseback riding, but also just getting out into the great outdoors. And it's a great chance to, again, be outside in that great social distancing environment. But a lot of times these Dude Ranches are in the American West, so you get those beautiful views because many of them are located near national parks, national forests, great public lands to explore, and a lot of them have their own lands too. And that was an awesome part of our episode because I actually visited five different ranches in that episode a lot. and really, really saw the breadth and diversity of those destinations.
And Darlie, a fascinating thing that I learned is, you know, these ranches have 100 or more horses, you know, some up to 200. As we need to say goodbye, tell our audience where the horses go at night, because they don't go into a barn.
Yes, at the ranches that really love their horses, they know that horses love to be outside. And I think that's the best way to raise a horse. So they do something called the jingle at a couple of these ranches, where they have this call and the bells are ringing and the horses run from one pasture to the next and they come through the ranch, and you can see it's just a beautiful experience to see all those horses running together. It really gives you that American West feeling. And they're going out to their pastures for the night to roam around and be happy horses.
You know, Darlie, you got to love it. And again, with the Colorado ranches, as you say, just in terms of the vistas and the scenery, absolutely majestic. Darlie, again, congratulations on season 9. I've seen 4 of the 6. I will be viewing the other 2 shortly. But again, I think a banner year for you. And thank you for sharing all of that with our audience. And of course, we look forward to staying in touch.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate your time, and thanks for having me on again.
You are more than welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, Darlie Newman, the new season of Travels with Darlie, debuting on PBS, definitely worth your consideration. A lot to learn, but also great entertainment value. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. When we return, yes, as promised, my co-host Chef Andrew Gould of the Slapfish Restaurant Group with his Ask the Chef segment. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.